great to see you guys here tonight. You know, I love the whole Christmas season. In fact, if I'm just being honest with you, I really like Christmas even a little bit more than Easter. I think theologically that's a little bit backward, because if there was no Easter, there would be no Christmas. And after all, Jesus never asked us to remember his birth. He asked us to remember his death. But I enjoy this time of year so much. But it's a little bit frustrating at the same time if you're a pastor. And maybe you've thought about this before, and maybe you've not thought about it. But the Christmas story doesn't change. It's the same Christmas story every year. And I've been a pastor for 15 years now. And so for, 16 years, I guess. I've been a pastor here at Rocky River for 15. But year in, year out, it's the same story. And maybe you never get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of hearing it, or even tired of saying it, talking about it, preaching about it. But the temptation for a pastor is to think, all right, how do I tell this same story that I've been telling, you know, every year, and make it really incredible? And that's just a silly way of thinking about it. I mean, how could you make the Christmas story any more incredible than it is? But the pastor sometimes thinks, you know, maybe to get people's attention, I need to come in on roller skates, or come in with a deck of cards, or, you know, balloons, and make some balloon animals or something like that. And it's ridiculous, because the story is an incredible one. And I just want to talk through the story with you a little bit tonight. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Most of us in here know it. We know the story. And even those who may be here, they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus, you still have some idea about what the story is. But I want all of us, for just a little while tonight, to pretend like we don't know the story. And my hope is that And just pretending like you don't know the story, you won't run ahead of me in the story to the very end. You know, oh yes, the angel, and they sing songs, and they go away, and the angels leave, and the shepherds. I don't want you racing through the story. I want you to listen to the story. And again, like maybe you've never heard it before, so that maybe you can hear the story tonight like you've never heard it before. And then it could change your life, because this is a life-changing story. My favorite passage for dealing with the birth of Jesus is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Let me just read it to you. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. One of the things, I promise I won't stop it after every verse, but one of the things I love about Luke is he's a doctor, and he just has this sequential mind and a historical way of looking at things. And so when he tells the gospel story, he throws in historical facts so that you'll know that, well, this is the Christmas story. It's not a story like a Pixar story. It's not a Disney story, like a once upon a time story, like something that didn't really happen. This was an historical event. This really happened. And he gives us the facts. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God was all around them, and they were afraid. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, grave clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, and they were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I think there are three things that are in this story that teach us what Christmas is all about. If you have your message notes, like Donnie mentioned earlier, I'll give these to you, and I'm going to give them to you kind of quickly because I know that we have little kids in the room that may not be able to hang with us for too long. But here's the first thing that Christmas is all about. It's about celebration. Do you realize this? It's about celebration. And it doesn't necessarily mean celebration just during a happy time, or it's a celebration when we gather up. It doesn't mean that it's just celebration when you go to the Christmas Eve service at Rocky River Church. It's a celebration of more than just the external things of Christmas. It's about so much more than shopping malls and Christmas presents and Santa Claus, although those things are great. But it's a celebration about so much more than those things. It's the celebration of the fact that God has come near to us. That God has come. If you want to know what one of, well, I'm not even going to say one of, but the difference, if you want to know what the difference is between the God we serve and our faith as followers of Jesus, the difference between our faith and any other religion you can name is that our God came near to us because He loves us. You can look at any other faith system that you care to look at, and the God or the gods that they serve have a great disdain for human beings. They don't even like people. And the only time their gods have anything to do with people is if they absolutely must deal with them. But the Bible tells us that our God loves us and came near to us. And listen, that's why we celebrate. And it's that part that sounds so simple that I think is also what makes the story so amazing, is that God came near, and He came because He loves us. I was thinking earlier tonight, when my parents were supposed to be here tonight and they couldn't come. They live in Myrtle Beach and something happened and they were not able to drive in. So they're talking about maybe coming tomorrow night, but I don't know if they'll be able to or not. My family and I, we've been dealing with some things over the last couple of years. It's just been really tough for us. Things that lots of families go through, but it's been tough on our family. And I was thinking about celebration. And I'll be honest with you, I know you're not going to have any of the details, so you might walk away tonight going, what's Jimmy talking about? I really want to know. But it's one of the things that's kept me from getting everything out of Christmas that I'd like to. It's made it kind of hard for me to get into the Christmas spirit this year. And so I was thinking about my mom and my dad on the way here tonight, and I remember back to the Christmas that we had in 1980. And 1980, I was 12 years old, and my grandmother, my mom's mom, had just died from Alzheimer's disease. She'd been sick for 4 years, and she died. She died late in the year in 1980. And my mom's family's really close, and you know, we always would get together for Christmas on Christmas Day. We'd have lunch together and spend the day together. But my mom that year just could not imagine all of us being together as a family or going to somewhere that we were going to have Christmas and my grandmother wasn't going to be there. So we went to Disney World. And it was the most miserable Christmas we ever spent. I mean, we were in a place where it's magical. And there's a celebration going on there all the time, and it's a make-believe celebration. It's fun, but it's not real. And they have a celebration going on there no matter what's going on in life or in the world. But it was fake to us. And we realized at Christmas that where we should have been is in a hot little country house full of family down in Union County, crying or not, laughing or not, and celebrating the fact that my grandmother was not with us, but she's in a better place. And we had a reason to celebrate that. I mean, Christmas is a celebration, not just over a baby, not over the other things that we make it about, but it's a celebration of life. Yes, a celebration of Jesus' life, but the life that He gives to us. You know, I don't want to get into a big political thing because it's not the time or the place. But there is a war on Christianity all over the world. If you watch the news with your eyes wide open, you'll see that. I've been calling it a war on Christmas, but I think it's even more than that. It's a war on Christianity. And I saw a billboard a few weeks ago in Times Square. I was there for a couple days worth of meetings. And this is a picture from that, and I think we have it. It's a little bit stretched out because it's not a great picture. But the billboard, and maybe you've seen it, it says, "Who needs Christ during Christmas?" Question mark. And the answer is, according to this atheist group, nobody. As though you could celebrate Christmas without Christ. Let me tell you something. There is no Christmas if there is no Christ. And because of Christ, we can celebrate all year long, every day, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what is happening in the world, we can celebrate the fact that God loves us and He came near to us and He's with us and He's for us. The second thing that Christmas is about is it's about salvation. It's about salvation. The angels said, "Fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy." That's the good news that God loves us and that He's come near. "But behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? "A Savior." I hope you get good presents for Christmas and not a whole lot of gifts that you have to re-gift for next year. You know what I'm talking about? I always remember some of the gifts that I've given to my dad, especially when I was a kid. He probably didn't care because I was a kid. He was just glad he got anything from me. But man, he got some crappy gifts from me for Christmas. I probably shouldn't use that word on Christmas Eve. I'm sorry. I've been sick for a few days. I'm all jacked up on Dayquil, so I apologize if you're offended at the word. But I gave him some lousy gifts. You know, no matter what you get on Christmas Day, whether it's the greatest gift you could ever imagine, it fails in comparison to what Jesus has given us. And listen, He didn't just give us something that's oversold, that's overpriced, that will end up on a $2 table at a yard sale in a year's time. He gave us something that we need and something that's valuable. You know, if our greatest need as human beings would have been for an education, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need was a financial one, and some of us think that that is our greatest need in life, He would have sent us an accountant If our greatest need in life was pleasure and games, He would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need as human beings is for a Savior. And so He sent us His Son. Not only to be born, but to grow up, to live for us, and then to die for us and live again so that we can live forever. Sometimes the best things are the simple things. And one of the most simple verses in the Bible is one of the greatest, if not the greatest. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the third thing that Christmas is all about is it's about reconciliation. You know that word? I'm sure you've heard it. You know the word. It means to make things right. It has the idea of an accounting house, and the head counter comes in to settle all the accounts to make sure that all the debts are in order. And through Jesus, we can be reconciled, or our debt is in order because of Him. He's the one who pays for our debt, and He is the payment at the same time. You may have never thought about this before, and probably not at Christmas, but do you realize that if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you're not following Him, that there is a conflict between the two of you, there is a debt that you owe to Him that you can never repay. No matter how good you are, no matter how good looking you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much you give to the church, you can't be good enough for that debt to go away. There has to be a payment for the debt. The sin debt. And Jesus came to be that payment and make the payment for us, to clear our accounts, to reconcile what is broken between us and God, to fix the deficit. And then as His followers, this is just as important. As His followers, we're supposed to show the world that reconciliation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there's with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. And what are they singing? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace with God, and then peace with others. Reconciling with God, and then reconciling with others. I love the way Luke helps us to understand this later in his gospel. He says, how can you love and have a relationship with a God you cannot see when things are broken down and destroyed between you and other people? If the Christmas story is about anything, it's about how to be reconciled to God. But then there's the challenge for us to reconcile with others. When I leave tonight, I've got to call someone and make reconciliation with them, with a family member. And I don't want to, because I'm not wrong. But I'm the believer. I'm the follower. I'm the preacher. I'm up here telling you that you should reconcile. And I've got reconciliation that I need to make happen. I tried to do it before I came to the service. So I could say, hey, I did it, and now you should too. But now I'm saying, I've got to go and do this. And maybe you need to as well. You know, some of us have gone through Christmas year after year after year after year, giving and receiving gifts, but never opening the most important gift, the gift of Jesus. Listen, a part of that gift is reconciliation. And if there's not reconciliation between you and the people in your life that you have grudges with, you'll never fully understand what it means to really follow Jesus. I don't need any amens on this part, but I have been so to, and I'm sorry to sound like we're in a counseling session and I'm the one lying on the couch and you guys are listening. What a downer the preacher was tonight at Rocky River Church. We won't be going back there. I've been so torqued over this Duck Dynasty stuff. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want you to clap your hands for me or nothing like that. But I've been so ratcheted up about it. And, man, sometimes I hate Facebook and Twitter because sometimes I'm really irrational with things. And so I can't tell you how many things I've put into 144 characters or less and then had to go back and erase it all. So if you've ever seen me on a tyrant, you'll know that for every tyrant, I've probably backed out of 50 of them. And gosh, man, I've just had so much I want to say about this. And I think there are things that we should say. I think that there are plenty of times and opportunities where we stand up for what we believe. But my thoughts have been tempered by reading the gospel. Jesus spent very little time with social issues. Jesus spent very little time railing against the government and society at that time. The early church for 300 years, spent very little time talking about politics. Instead, what they did is they took the love that came from God that reconciled them to God, and they exported that to the world around them. They showed the people around them a better way to live. And that, not a boycott, not a political campaign, not a president, not a party, not a type of government. That's what changed the world. You know, again, most of us know John 3:16, but do you know John 3:17? It's just as powerful. It says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Reconciled first with God through Jesus. And then our mission is to help the world find reconciliation through that same Jesus. And not to be condemners, but to be lovers of people. So how does this all stand up in your life? What do you do with this message? Here's what the disciple or the shepherds did. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem." And there's big exclamation there. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The shepherds, man, they're my favorite part of Christmas. They're my favorite part. Because these shepherds, man, they were at the bottom of the totem pole. They were ostracized everywhere. They were not included in the day-to-day life because these were cowboy-type guys that were rough around the edges and they cursed and told dirty jokes and, you know, did other things like that. These were not just nice, sweet men. They were social outcasts, but they were also religious outcasts because their job made them ritually unclean. So it's a big deal that the angel came and said to them, "For unto you is born this day." It's a way of saying you get to be included. You get to be a part of the celebration. The salvation has come to you. God wants reconciliation with you, which is to say He wants a relationship with you. The angel didn't say, "Hey guys, get your stuff together. You need to clean up. Quit your job. Straighten it up. Learn these 20 verses. Memorize all of this. And then we'll think about letting you come to the synagogue and you can hear some about the message and we'll figure out if you're going to be good enough or not." Now he just says, you get to be a part of the celebration. Salvation has come unto you and God wants a relationship with you. And they seized it. They followed the GPS and the coordinates. They followed all the directions and went to Bethlehem, the town just around the corner from them. And they received the promise of God, the salvation of God. What will you do with it? Will you receive it? Will you receive Him? Will you finally this year have a reason to celebrate? Will you receive salvation, the forgiveness of your sin? Will you let Jesus settle your account, give you a relationship, and then give you a purpose to live out for the rest of your days on planet Earth with the hope that we have a home and future with Christ, or not? I ask you to receive Him and follow Him. Let's stand together for prayer. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give everyone an opportunity for prayer. You know, the truth is that there's some of us here tonight, and as Donnie mentioned in his welcome tonight, who are already followers of Jesus. You know, and maybe it was a long time ago when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. But maybe something has happened in your life along the way and you just don't feel that close to the Lord. You feel like something is missing. It doesn't feel like there's a year or two or just a sin or two that's crept back into your life. Maybe you feel like there's a wheelbarrow load of things that you just haven't confessed to the Lord. And so you still have a relationship with Him, but the fellowship doesn't seem to be there. And so what's blocking up you being able to experience Christmas for everything it's worth this year is you just need to confess some things to the Lord. Well, I'm not going to hand you a microphone. I don't want you to say those out loud because you don't have anything to confess to me. But just right now, say to the Lord, there are things that are built up in your life, just say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Just ask him. Just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins tonight, and let me again feel your presence in my life and know that there's still nothing between us. And just say to him, Lord, I want tonight, December the 23rd, 2013, to be a night of rededication where I give you my life again. I mean, not that I can be saved again, but I just want to mark down tonight as the night that I began to take my commitment to you seriously, really began to follow you. Not just know you, but follow you. And now if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And again, you don't have to pray this prayer out loud. You can speak directly to the heart of God, and he'll hear you in a whisper, or even if you just say these things from your heart to his, just say, God, tonight I'm believing God, I'm not just believing that there's a higher power out there, but I know that there is a God, that you are God, and that God looks like Jesus. And so just confess your sins. Just say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner like every other human being, but tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow you like a sheep follows a shepherd. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming to the earth. Thank you for giving me salvation. Thank you for reconciling me to you. And now thank you for saving me. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you just prayed and rededicated your life to Jesus, I want to celebrate that with you. I just want to know about it. And the way to let me know about it is to take that connection card that you filled out earlier and somewhere on the front or the back, just write a R. I'm a simple guy, and that'll let me know that tonight you rededicated your life to Jesus and you're serious about following him, because I want to help you with some next steps with that. And if you're here tonight and you accepted Jesus for the first time, there's some important next steps that you need to take. So if you'll take your connection card and before you leave, fill it out. Make sure, you know, you give us at least a name and some way to contact you, an email address or a phone number. And on your card, on the front or back, just write a B on it. And that means that tonight you're believing in Jesus. And this week, and I know it's a Christmas week, but that doesn't matter to us. We're going to be working at least tomorrow. And hopefully just till noon on Tuesday, but we'll see. No, wait a minute. Today is Monday. We'll be working till noon tomorrow. Hopefully till noon. And so we'll get in touch with you. We want to help you with next steps because it's important. And also, if you're here tonight and you don't have a Bible of your own, we'd like to give you one. And so on your way out, if you'll go by the information table, you can just pick one up. They're free. You don't have to ask for it. Just take it. It's yours. But especially if you're a believer, we want to help you with your next steps in following Jesus. There's a song that we just must sing, that for me it's not Christmas until we do. It's a song called O Holy Night. And I think this is more than just a sentimental song. I think this place is holy. I think it's holy because God has been with us tonight. Amen? And the song is O Holy Night, and I just want us to sing it, and just, if it hadn't already, let Christmas jump into you. All right? And then I'll be right back, and we'll close everything out. Sorry. You guys, you got your glow stick? Listen, I want you guys to know, we're not cheap. Candles are a lot cheaper than these, but these are cheaper than new chairs. And we have good insurance, but, anyway, we have glow sticks. So if you have one, just break that thing open. We're going to turn the lights down. You turn your light up. And let's sing "O Holy Night" together. Thank you. How was that? Golly, man, I'm telling you, that sounded so good. I love that last little part there that you do. My gosh. No, I didn't teach her that one. Just the lower stuff, the lower stuff. Do you think it's been a good night? So glad that you guys came to be with us and be a part of Christmas Eve Eve here at Rocky River Church. Merry Christmas to you. And in just a minute, we're going to close everything out with a prayer. But I told you at the beginning of the service that we do some serious things. We do some fun things, too. And it's kind of become a tradition for us to finish with this song. And so have a good time. You guys are welcome to sing and clap and I would say run around a little bit, but I don't know if we want to say that quite yet or not. So just be careful, because this row will take off, won't it? I know it will. I won't. So y'all stay right where you are. All right, you got to remember Santa Claus is coming soon. So be on your P's and Q's. All right, guys, rock this thing out. Well, hey, before we dismiss, I want us to pray, and I want to ask our staff if they'd come down front and their families. I don't know if they're all here tonight. Most of them were here last night, and they'll be back tomorrow night. But Donnie, Cricket, Jason, Jeremy, I know it's not about these guys. It's about Jesus, but would you give these guys a big hand? Man, they work so hard. It takes a whole team of people, and not just the guys and gal that's right here, but and we have our trustees scattered around in the room tonight, ministry team leaders, volunteers of all varieties. And has our parking team already slipped out tonight? Parking team guys still in here? Let's give them a big hand. Especially It's cold, and they get rained on a lot, especially last night. Man, I really felt sorry for them last night. Woo! But tomorrow night, they'll be dry, just cold. But listen, from our staff team, we want you guys to know that we love you. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We're going to be hanging out in the lobby after we pray. So we'd love to talk and shake hands. Not counsel. We're not going to do any counseling tonight, okay? You have to make an appointment for the counseling, but we'd love to, well, if you need counseling, you let us know and we'll handle that too, okay? But we just want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you again for the opportunity to come here tonight and sing some songs that we call Christmas songs. And to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And we're grateful for our Savior, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for loving us through Jesus. And I pray that these glow sticks tonight would be more than symbolic, that when we walk out of here with these, we would walk out with the gospel with us, that we would let our light shine, that we would let others see through the way we live and the way we talk and the way we act, that we've been reconciled with you. And we pray that they would be able to look and see and listen and hear that there's something different about us, to the point that they would want to know, and we could be able to say, it's Jesus that makes the difference in my life. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.